Good afternoon and welcome to Born on the 4th of July. I'm your host, Barbara Jean, and I'm hopeful you're having a great day out and about all across this nation. A lot of turmoil, a lot of things going on, and I'm hoping that you're keeping up with just a few of them. It is mind-boggling as never before in the history of this country. I think there are so many things going on. Some people call them arrows coming at them, hard to figure out just what they think about every day coming on to them with different aspects. A country that doesn't defend its border, a country that talks and speaks of torture and torture memos, and then shall we investigate or shall we not? There are those who think this is very detrimental for the security of our nation. When is it that it's correct to go to war? A lot of questions out there. September 2001. On 9/11, an attack like never before. And of course, there were planes going into those buildings, and they all came down real fast. America was told how it happened, and that people caused it. And here we are, 2009, and we have unanswered questions. In September 2008, there was a lecture in the physics department of Utah Valley University in room PS202. And therein, on that day, there was a question posed. Why did the National Institute of Standards and Technology concede, and these are their words, we are unable to provide a full explanation of the total collapse. Since then, your life has changed, my life has changed, government has changed, freedoms have changed. Dr. Stephen Jones, a friend, an acquaintance, and a great American. Good afternoon, Dr. Stephen Jones.
Thank you, Barb Jean. It's good to be back on the air with you today.
Well, yes, in sort of a different venue. We have beautiful patriotic music on the show at this time.
That's great.
Lifts your spirits. But there have been happenings since September 10th, 2008 that are remarkable. And I'm so pleased and honored to have you on Born on the 4th of July. And just as for your information, we'll go to a break in rather a few moments, and then we'll come back and have a little more time. So if you just want to explain a little bit about who you are and where you're from and so forth, we have a very well-educated professor and doctor on the show today, a bachelor's degree in physics and a PhD in physics from Vanderbilt. And I hear the music. We'll go to music and come right back.
Okay, fine. Thanks, brother.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Loan modifications don't work, at least not without some leverage from a forensic audit by mortgage fraud examiners. Have your payments skyrocketed under an adjustable rate mortgage? Have you been laid off or had your hours cut? Are balloon payments coming due? Congress and the White House are pinning their hopes on homeowners renegotiating their mortgages to stop the housing crisis. Trouble is, the banks are saying no 80% of the time. That's where Mortgage Fraud Examiners comes in. They perform forensic loan audits and appraisals to find legal deficits in your mortgage. They estimate that up to 85% of all mortgages have legal problems. Banks and lenders suddenly start cooperating if faced with a lawsuit for violating lending laws or appraisal fraud. You could gain some powerful ammunition to use for Mortgage Fraud Examiners. Get more information at www.mortgagefraudexaminers.com or call 800-540-EXAM. That's 800-540-3926.
Welcome back, and as we went to break, I was giving you just a little background that we have a scientist on our show today as a guest, properly trained and studied and did a lot of different training at different facilities. I was just saying that the doctorate was from Vanderbilt, and then he has done research at other facilities and postdoctoral research. So I present Dr. Stephen Jones. And science, that's a little bit of a story, isn't it, that's different than what we hear on the news about how things are happening, and certainly in regard to 9/11.
Well, that's certainly true, Barbara Jean, yeah. In fact, what got me interested was the collapse of Building 7, the way it fell down at nearly freefall speed. And so, as you look at the science, there's clearly a lot more going on than what the official story tells us.
And something that's happened that's been just recent is that there's a new presentation of a research paper. And I was wondering if you would put that out there and maybe the scientists that joined with you on this, and why we should rev this up and present this all across the nation for the knowledge and understanding of the American citizen.
All right. Thank you for mentioning that. I was going to bring it up, too. Of course, it's quite exciting to us as scientifically to verify that we have indeed found explosive pyrotechnic material. I mean, it's still active today, found in several samples of the World Trade Center dust. And this has been published now in the Open Chemical Physics Journal. A little out of breath. I was just running up the stairs.
Okay. I'll let you catch your breath. I'll ask a question and let you think about this. I know that in your area of expertise, peer review is very important. And maybe if you take a couple of breaths, you can explain to the listeners why that's so important and that this paper is peer reviewed.
Yes, it certainly was. And, I've published in Nature, predominant journal in science, fair to say, about three times. So I've been through the peer review process before a number of times, and of course Scientific American had a fairly stringent peer review as well, and Physical Review Letters, where I've published, also has a very stringent peer review. This peer review was as stringent as any of those that I've had. I've published about 50, over 50 peer-reviewed journal articles and book articles. In this case, the one of the reviewers, a physicist, and I found out later, it was very insightful and asked some very tough questions. This is what peer review is for. He's a PhD of physics person, a professor. And he said, well, have you looked at this? Did you think of that? How about trying this experiment? And so he had about 10 pages of peer-reviewed comments and questions based on our original submission of paper. And so we went back to the lab and did some more work, and that was a good thing, really a very good thing. That's the beauty of peer review. It encourages you to do work that you perhaps hadn't thought of before. In this case, we did additional analyses, and for instance, we were able to demonstrate the presence of elemental aluminum, which had not been completely confirmed before. We also compared the thermal output. In other words, when you heat this material up, it, in the words of a colleague of mine, it blows up. So we were able to establish that looking at the narrowness of the, it's called an exotherm in this differential scanning calorimeter. Sorry about the terms, but, you know, it's a little bit of a technical paper, and I hope people will actually take the time to Google on, you could Google Herrett, he's the first author, or Farrer, F-A-R-R-E-R, from BYU, the second author. Really should have been the first author. That's a story in itself, but it's just, and then Google on, if you Google on Herrett and Farrer, that should bring up the paper, because they're the first two authors, and I'm actually the third author on this paper.
Well, aren't you glad to have some colleagues for a change a little bit,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Well, it is great.
I'm kidding a little bit.
We've had colleagues before, of course, as you know, but at the same time, let's see, it's a little more than Herrett and Farrer. They want to say Harriet Farrer, which is not. So let's try Herrett Farrer Jones. Yeah, these are great. For instance, Niels Herrett, a professor of chemistry at the University of Copenhagen in Denmark, is an expert in nanomaterials, you know, very tiny materials, which is what we find here. Nanochemistry is crucially important, so he does a great deal of work and is very active in discussing this paper, defending the science that we discovered, that we developed here as we discovered these red-gray chips in the World Trade Center dust. And Jeff Farrer actually did a lot of the work, scanning electron microscopy. So an electron microscope was used to study these chips, and that's how we learned just so much about these chips. And then it's an active, we call it aluminothermic material. It's a very high-tech type of pyrotechnic or explosive.
And this is so important because you've had a lot of people, just like we said, the National Institute, they kind of gave up on the story. And it's very important because you were able to get, I believe, maybe it was 4 different samples of the dust particles. And at first, maybe these little pieces of colored whatever weren't showing up, and that's where you started, wasn't it? Looking at those different little shards or pieces of material?
Yeah, basically so. What happened was, and by the way, we've seen this in all the samples we looked at. We just found 4 collectors of dust. These are individuals living in New York City that for one reason or another saved out some of the World Trade Center dust, put it in a plastic bag, and then later when I requested samples just to see what we could find in the dust. They sent me and other scientists independently these samples. And then when I looked closely, I was looking for, you know, whatever you could find. I noticed these chips. They're red on one side and gray on the other. And I didn't think too much of it at first. You know, maybe it's just paint. But as I looked at it with a microscope and an electron microscope, then got Dr. Fair, Dr. Harrit, and others involved, Professor Harrit, we found that this is not just an ordinary paint. It's explosive pyrotechnic material. And for that to be in the World Trade Center dust, of course, so well, we can't find any innocent explanation. There's an enormous amount of it, approximately 10 tons still. In other words, in the dust from the World Trade Center collapse, there would be a total of about 10 tons of this material. So it's not something that a husky hijacker could carry on the plane with him. 10 tons is too much for anybody.
Well,
and it would be noticed. What is this stuff?
People would wonder how it would get in there.
That's right. And that's exactly what we're asking, is who placed it in the World Trade Center building and who made the material. As I say, we learned as we did the electron microscope studies that this has iron oxide intimately mixed with a form of aluminum. There's elemental aluminum. And at the nanoscale, it's mixed. I mean, this is not just from the buildings collapsing. Of course, the buildings have aluminum and iron and oxygen and so on, but it's the intimate mixing and the carbon matrix that we find this in. And then, of course, when we do the thermal analysis, the stuff yields a very large amount of energy, more than ordinary thermite even. So it's more than TNT per gram, more than HMX or any of the conventional explosives. It's a very highly energetic material.
In some of that I was trying to understand, and I won't get it right, I know, but you'll probably understand where I'm going. You talk about one element stealing the oxygen from another. And could you tell us a little bit about that and how that, in my thinking, accelerated what they was able to do?
Sure. What happens in ordinary thermite or nanothermite is the same basic reaction. But I want to, there is a big difference. But the basic reaction is that oxygen is associated with iron oxide, and that oxygen is, as you say, stolen by the aluminum, the elemental aluminum. Now, in ordinary thermite, that produces a lot of heat and produces an incendiary. So it's a molten iron product that produced that can melt through materials, especially if you add sulfur, it'll melt through steel. But now what we're finding, and there could very well have been some of that in the building, you know, this molten metal pouring out of the South Tower led me to this hypothesis that there was indeed a thermitic reaction. But in addition now, we're finding this nanothermite. Now, the difference is, Barbara Jean, that the iron oxide is in tiny, so 100 nanometers or less, grain, just very tiny.
We're going to go to break, and we'll be right back with this small, the term nano. Get your scientific brain on, because this is earth-shaking as to the import of this finding. We'll be right back.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system with proven and guaranteed results for over 15 years? Would you like to stop any mortgage foreclosure and have a written guarantee that would make most attorneys scream? Hi, I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My Zero Debt Expert System has helped tens of thousands of people.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees, and I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, John, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
And you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors or pay a percentage of your debt. Call my experts today at 800-477-9256 and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. Or visit ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Welcome back to Warn on the 4th of July. Today's guest, Dr. Stephen Jones. We're discussing the complex particles and things like that that indicate maybe that there was indeed a nanothermite in the buildings and in the dust of 9/11 disaster of the World Trade Center. And could the nanothermite have come from the planes?
No. First of all, there's way too much of it to get 10 tons of this, plus or minus. I mean, it's a rough estimate of this very highly explosive material. You would not put that on a commercial plane. For instance, the hijackers could not have carried that much high explosive. Also, it's very high-tech material, Bobby Jean. We have been saying it has been known for about a decade before 9/11, 2001. But these are national labs and military labs that are studying this this explosive. That's the difference. Nanothermite can be tailored as an explosive, a very high explosive, for military and other purposes. And then ordinary thermite is an incendiary. But I hope the listeners will understand the difference. Ordinary thermite will melt through something. The nanothermite explodes and can cut explosively through steel, for example, just as you would do with HMX or C4 or conventional explosive materials.
And the fact that maybe this would have been categorized as an incendiary, is that why maybe they haven't allowed it to be looked upon? Is it kept it out of this area? I noticed that there was some comment like that it seemed like I read.
Well, you mean NIST?
Well, just in general, that it would be an incendiary rather than another category.
Yeah, let me clarify once more so we make sure we get that straight. Nanothermite is not an incendiary. it is an explosive material as you tailor it for explosion. You see that it's not an incendiary, it's an explosive. Superthermite is the other name for it, and that's an explosive. Okay, so I can't see any good reason not to look for it in a situation where there's clearly a crime that was committed. And the NFPA 921 code, which is standard for fire investigation, there certainly is fire there as well, does talk about looking for thermite residues. This has essentially the same residues as we show in our paper as ordinary thermite. And we found those residues before. And now we traced back and found the unexploded thermitic material, this highly energetic, high-tech nanothermite in the dust.
And it's ridiculous to think that the airplanes could have caused this, right?
The airplanes don't carry high-tech explosives with them, nanothermite. I mean, if they did, that's already saying we need to find out who put it there. But 10 tons, of course, would be too much for these planes. And that's, again, a rough estimate, but there's a lot. In every sample we looked at, there were numerous of these red-gray chips and shards that we could then examine. Four of the collectors gave permission to use their name. Those are the four that we homed in on, and they're all the same material, you know, carbon, aluminum, iron oxide, silicon. Those are the ingredients. By the way, as we looked at these chips, after cracking them open so we get a fresh surface, there's no zinc or chromium in any of these four samples that we looked at in that way. So that rules out the standard paint, ordinary paint argument, as has been admitted by people who have looked at that. The ordinary paint for a primer on steel does have chromium and zinc. These chips, as you open them up and look at the fresh surface, do not have chromium or zinc or magnesium either, for that matter. So that rules out the ordinary paint, primer paint argument. And, of course, the heat trace shows that they are explosive pyrotechnic material. That rules out the ordinary paint. You could say it's an explosive paint. That's what it looks like. But then the question is, who put this explosive material in the towers?
And I'm going to give out the 800 number for those who are scientists out there that would like to make a question or a comment, and those of you who are not. This is science that we all need to learn and ponder, because so much of what is happening today had the catalyst of 9/11 as its beginning. Call in number is 800-313-9443, ladies and gentlemen, across this nation. This is a great opportunity. 800-313-9443, an opportunity to ask your question about 9/11 of the scientist of this hour, for sure, Dr. Stephen Jones. And then as he was giving recognition to his colleagues, I think there were about seven, eight or so that you joined together
nine
on. We'll go to break here and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president.
Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to libertystickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's libertystickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
The new world order beast is genetically modifying your food.
Genetically modifying.
Mixing vegetables with animals. And now experimenting with viruses.
Viruses.
Without a long-term food solution, you will have just two options. Starve or surrender.
Surrender.
All canned food supplies will eventually run out.
What then?
Then. Grow your own healthy food and feed your family forever. SurvivalistSeeds.com is now the nation's largest bulk heirloom seed company.
And it's owned by a real patriot.
Big John Lipscomb.
You can now have
an infinite amount of healthy vegetables like a watermelon, a bundle of carrots, or tomatoes for a little more than a penny each. SurvivalistSeeds.com. And now you can go into business with Big John at SurvivalistSeeds.com by becoming an affiliate. See his link at SurvivalistSeeds.com.
SurvivalistSeeds.com.
So the particles, Corey, returning to Dr. Jones and the listeners out there, you know, it's hard to put your mind around topics that we're not schooled in, Professor.
Sure.
And so I think that's one of the reasons maybe we're so far behind in solving this, that these things don't just stand out for people. But
yeah.
I think you've helped us understand that thermite or the use thereof has been around a long time. And
Over
100 years in the 1800s, late 1800s and so forth, they were using this. And so it's just the understanding of the nanoparticles that cause even a greater explosion. Is that correct?
Well, ordinary thermite is not explosive. Super thermite or nanothermite is explosive. So there's a big change. Yeah. And so now it's in the last about 10 years. Well, a little more than that now, 15 years or so, that scientists have made this high-tech explosive, the nanothermite. It's I have a chemist friend, and since I have studied this and found it then in the World Trade Center desk, he's tried to make it, and it's not so easy to make. We read about the Lawrence Livermore Laboratory guys and Los Alamos making this material, and they're talking about military applications, thermobaric weapons using this nanothermite, but we have not succeeded in making it. I mean, it's a very high-tech material. It's not some guys in a cave in Afghanistan that are making 10 tons of this stuff. I assure you, it's very difficult to make. You can read about it, but to actually go out and make it, and this by a professional chemist, he's trying to make it, he has not succeeded anywhere close to what we find still in the World Trade Center dust. These peculiar and fascinating red chips. They're fascinating from the point of view of science. Of course, the implication is
that there someone put this high-tech explosive in the World Trade Center building. Now, Elta, how could you have tons of the material in the dust just right after the collapse? Now, let me head off one question that almost always comes up, and that is people say, well, maybe they used this high-tech explosive in the cleanup, you know, in the few days following. Of course, that would be rather surprising, but it was completely ruled out because, you see, one of them collected just 10 minutes after collapse of the North Tower. And this fellow in New York, right near the mouth of the Brooklyn Bridge, is explained in the paper, as this dust was coming down and piling up, and of course he was covered with this dust, he picked up a handful and saved it. So we have that from the very day, 9/11, and just 10 minutes after the destruction of the North Tower. So that cannot be from cleanup operations, which of course were not even on that. I mean, it came much later than 10 minutes after the destruction of the building.
Well, you know, you always hear the expression, the smoking gun. And
right.
could this be anything like that? Is this the answer to what actually could have taken place in that terrifically horrific moment in time? Could this be the explanation that people have been seeking as to how this could have occurred? And what do you see from here on with this declaration in the paper?
Yeah. What I call it, Barbara Jean, is the loaded gun. Because not only do we have, I mean, this gun still has the bullets in it. You see what I'm saying? So it's, yes, we have residues of the thermitic reaction post-reaction. And these iron aluminum-rich spheres that we find in such abundance in the dust. But in addition, we have this red material that is itself highly energetic. And when you touch it off, it produces a very narrow exotherm, very high energy, and then it also produces these iron aluminum spheres. So we have all of that. We have the loaded gun. And so now I hope that the listeners understand it. It's like finding, and I try to draw an analogy, people see what this means. It's like having a building that burns down, suspicious circumstances, but the official report comes out, says, well, it was fire. That was just fire, you know. And so, but then in the rubble, belatedly, is found chunks of dynamite, okay, because we've all heard of dynamite. Now, then you say, well, I think we better study and find out who put the dynamite in this, you know, commercial building. You shouldn't have had these chunks of dynamite. So it doesn't really matter exactly how the chunks of dynamite were involved, does it? Because we cannot say exactly how this nanothermite was used. All we have is the pieces of it left. We can make speculation, but you see, that gets us away from the central question. I don't want to be distracted away from the central question, which is who put explosive material in the World Trade Center tower. See, that we've demonstrated now. So who put this high-tech explosive in the tower? That's the central question, not exactly how it was used. That's a very interesting point. But, you know, let's focus on the who here. Find out
well,
what these guys are.
Well, it's high time, isn't it? High time
it is.
For
it's
this.
Very high time. And we're just pleased then that we have found this loaded gun. I will say in Europe, where Professor Harrod, you know, the first author, this expert in nanochemistry, resides, then there's been enormous interest and in the media and so on. It's the near total silence that you have in this country. There was a nice article in Deseret News on April 6th on this paper, but in Europe, it's been in the newspapers, it's been on TV, he's been invited on interviews. He spoke in Paris. He spoke in Denmark. I mean, it's just really opening up in Europe. There seems to be, I don't know, you know, quite what is happening in this country with the with the media. But of course, you're yourself excluded. Obviously, you're very interested in this.
Well, you know, I have to explain, and I'm right out with it. I am so excited to have this story on RBN, Republic Broadcasting Network, and on Born on the 4th of July. And
right.
I was delivering my little grandson this morning early to kind of get him on his way. And I said to him, do you know this is an exciting day for your Nana? I said, I am going to speak with one of the most important scientists in the whole world. And to the listener out there, that is the truth. And I think if you go to the internet and put in Dr. Niels Harriot, H-A-R-R-I-T, today, through your YouTube or whatever, you can then view an interview that was conducted on national TV in Denmark with an interviewer asking very, very cogent questions and very, very, very polite and interested in the information. And then the thought that I had that that was going out all over Europe in many ways, and another country also, Estonia, I think also has been interested in this topic. Think about what it is in America. This should be on every channel, every station, because
It should be. You're right.
I thought it was interesting in one of the comments that Dr. Harriot made. He said, and maybe we're not enough of a scientific civilization here in the United States. He said, you cannot fudge this kind of science.
That is true. Like I say, it's very difficult to fabricate this nanothermite. very good chemist colleague of mine has tried and has failed. But we find it in the dust of the World Trade Center, and very energetic stuff. So now we want to know who, and I hope people will. Let me mention one thing, if I could, Barbara Jean. I don't know how long we're going to be together.
We're going to be as long as you will be with me, okay?
Okay.
Anyway,
well,
possibly a little bit into the next hour if you have time. But do take the time. Tell us all that we need to know.
Well, I would be glad to take questions. I think those are always so important. I hope as people look at the paper, which, as you said, if you'll Google Niels Harriot and open Chemical Physics Journal, I know it's quite a lot, but, you know, there's ways to get at this. You can just go to 911blogger.com, and this paper is linked right up at the top left-hand corner. So that's probably easier. Anyway, if you look at Figure 29, here we compare our sample, well, one of the samples from the World Trade Center desk with a known sample of nanothermite. And they're comparable, except that the World Trade Center desk releases even more energy than this material, which was produced at Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory. So, you know, it's just remarkable stuff from the dust. And here's one thing I wanted to emphasize, though, Barbara Jean. Again, people will look at this paper. And then in Utah, especially, I talked to Chase, our congressman, if people will talk to their congressperson. Let's see if we can get the United States Geological Survey, USGS. They have samples of the World Trade Center dust. And what has occurred to me is, if we can get them to look for this red material that's described in this scientific paper and do similar tests on it and then either confirm or deny, but do the test finally. Frankly, I don't think NIST will do it. They've been so, they just have repeatedly refused to look for explosives. And they admit that they refuse to look for explosives. Well, this is explosive. But maybe the USGS will be a little more open if they're, right, it's a United States funded service, right? So let's put pressure from our congresspeople on USGS to take their World Trade Center dust samples and analyze for this red material. And then I think we can open this up, get it out into the public, get the sort of a momentum going. And this, of course, would be the proper scientific response is for a group like USGS to, and you know they have the samples because they have said they have it, to get them to look. Yeah.
I received a letter from an email, rather, from a journalist in regard to this matter, and he put some pressure on me and also anyone else with whom I would speak. Just like you are saying, there are avenues that all across America people can take, and that we should write to the editor of our newspaper and suggest that there is this information that can't be turned away from, and seek their investigation. Also check with your local legislators at the state level and also at the national level. And as I'm in that category, I would like to say that I was speaking with former Merrill Cook congressman just before the show, and he was attending the funeral of former Representative Bill Orton, and he was lamenting that he would not be able to hear your show. But he wanted to have me extend his best wishes. And he and others who have served in this nation and are serving are those that you need to say, there is evidence and you must look at it and get back with me. Steve in California, you're on with Dr. Jones.
Hi, Dr. Jones and Barbara Jean.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. I have a couple of questions, if I might. Do you know George Galloway, the politician from, I guess, Ireland? He has claimed that there's no way that enough explosives could have been placed in the towers in order to bring them down. I guess he's saying that, they would have been detected or whatever.
You're saying that it's impossible to bring a building like that down using, I mean, buildings are brought down routinely with explosives. What's the problem?
I didn't quite hear what you said, but he was saying that security would have caught the people who would bring in the explosives.
I see. So it's not, I mean, obviously, buildings are brought down with explosives every year. I've witnessed, the videos you've seen them of buildings brought down with explosives. So you're saying the problem is security. So let me ask you this. I mean, you know, we could address that, but my question is, what if you found explosives in the World Trade Center dust? I mean, scientifically, it's there, and it's been verified now at a lab in France and another lab in New Hampshire. So do we say, well, sure, you have these high-tech explosives, but it can't be. So, I mean, there's a disconnect here. Just because I can't explain, or actually I could try, but I think that's getting off the point. You're asking how were the explosives put in there. What I'm saying is, let's get back to the central question. The explosives are there in the dust. I want to know who. They could tell us how, you see, once we find out who. I want to know who put them there and who made this stuff. You see the difference?
Well, that's precisely. I agree with you, but I'm just trying to bring that up as a kind of a devil's advocate.
It's a distraction. In other words, it's because we don't, and I admit that, I don't know how they placed this material in the building, although I can give you some ideas. There was quite a bit of maintenance, elevator maintenance going on. And that's what you need, is access to the central core column. And these are separate from the office in the tower. And so you can go in. Now we're going into the detail. And if you want to read in detail how it could have been done using nanothermite, Jim Hoffman, if you Google on Hoffman nanothermite towers, he has actually written up a scenario whereby this could be done. But you see, from my point of view as a scientist, I say, wait a minute, I don't care to be distracted by how. You see, I want to know, it's there. explosive material, pyrotechnic material has been found in abundance in the depths. We've proven that. Now we want to know who did it. And don't say, you know,
we'll go to break here, gentlemen. We have Steve in California. Please stay with us. And we have Dr. Stephen Jones on Born on the 4th of July. We'll be right back.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Special Roast Hemp Coffee from hempusa.org. Our coffee grows in the dense volcanic rich soil, herbicide and pesticide free, and in the high altitudes of Guatemala, in conditions that are ideal for natural growth of this high quality coffee. Try our mellow cup of coffee that is ground and roasted with 25% hemp seed from Canada. With a wonderful nutty flavor that contains 18% protein, our roasters bring a unique flavor that makes this the best cup of coffee you'll ever have. Try our new special roast hemp coffee from hempusa.org and wake up your brain without the jitters. Our customers look forward to their next cup of hemp coffee. Visit us at hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. That's 908-691-2608 and see if you'll change your mind about drinking coffee again. Taste the difference. Feel the difference at hempusa.org today.
They say 50 is the new 40. I like that idea. But it won't change the facts about prostate health. At my age, you have to understand what the prostate affects. Urine flow, intimacy, sleeping habits, overall quality of life. So if you're like me and you want to give your body nutritional support for a healthy prostate, then take what I take. All natural beta prostate. Now, many men try saw palmetto, but beta prostate has hundreds of times more healthy plant sterols. In Europe, doctors prescribe plant sterols for prostate support, but here you can get them in non-prescription beta prostate. This is targeted nutrition, and it works with your body. So why wouldn't you take this amazing nutrient? Here's a number you can call to try beta prostate risk-free. Call 800-362-5848. Your satisfaction is guaranteed or you get your money back. 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848.
I sure got cut off. Okay. All right. Welcome back. I'm hoping everything's going okay. A little bit of a disconnect there. All of a sudden, technology comes and goes in waves, right? It's certainly extraordinary, and we give great credit to technology. And I would also like to thank producers who put things together as well. We had a caller on, Steve in California. Are you still with us?
Yes, sir.
All right. If you have another question for the professor, please continue. And then we've got Bill in Idaho and Mike in Ottawa. So we have some callers here.
Okay. First, I want to congratulate Dr. Jones. I think he's done great work along with Richard Gage. I've seen one of his videos. Anyway, on the Internet. Anyway, one more question is, Dr. Jones estimated there were 10 tons of thermate in the records. Is that based on extrapolation of how much of the unexploded thermite or both unexploded and exploded?
Okay, first of all, it's nanothermite, not thermite or thermate. Again, I'd like to make sure we understand the difference. I'm sure, at least I hope you do.
Okay.
Nanothermite's an explosive material. It's based on a sample. It's in our paper that you can read there towards it's in the discussion section. I could pull that up, but let me just recall for you, and you can read that. The amount of material, 0.1%, found in a dust sample. Now, this is separated dust, which we've removed the chunks of glass and concrete and wallboard. There are chunks in there, despite what some people think. And I've looked at numerous, half a dozen dust samples now. And routinely, you find this wallboard, fibrous material, glass chunks, concrete chunks. We remove those. And then what's left, we measured, actually, Dr. Fair measured, weighed it, removed the red-grade chips, weighed those. And those masses are given in the paper in the discussion. And then based from that, and then we have to have then an estimate of the amount of dust. And this is done by Gregory Urich. I think he's in Europe somewhere, but I can't remember. And others, we've seen estimates, approximately 90,000 tons of dust. And then 0.1%. But then you have to also bring in the fact that this is separated dust. It's not the, it doesn't include the chunks of concrete and glass that we find. You see? So that leads to this rough estimate of 10 tons unexploded material.
We're going to go to the top of the hour, and we hope we can continue this conversation after we go to break. So you're listening to Dr. Stephen Jones on Born on the 4th of July. I'm your host, Barbara Jean. Stay with us.
With recent